a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola.
Thank you so much for listening to Cradle My Heart Radio tonight. This is a pre-recorded program, and if you'll go to cradlemyheart.org, you'll find out what our upcoming guests will entail and what's in the future. But tonight we're pre-recorded, so we still would love to hear your feedback, and you can always get in touch with us on the website using the contact form and the reply form there at cradlemyheart.org, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/cradlemyheart. Look for us on Twitter at Kim Cotola, K-E-T-O-L-A. Lots of ways to get in touch. And, you know, we answer that toll-free number. We answer that around the clock at 800-811-3003. So if you'd like to leave a voicemail and have your voice included on an upcoming program, please do that too. Tonight, though, we are excited to be presenting to you a conversation with a friend and a mentor and a sister in faith, Susie Larson, who is the host of Live the Promise, as well as Everyday Relationships, a couple of radio programs that you'll want to find and we'll learn more about today. And she's an author as well, and with a number of volumes to her credit. And today we're going to be focusing on your book, Susie, Your Beautiful Purpose. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Well, Kim, it's an honor to be with you, and you're funny to call me a mentor because I would say the same about you, but definitely a dear sister, and great to be serving with you today.
I think it's a separate program for us to talk about the ways that our journeys have intersected.
Definitely.
But I met
I thank God upon every remembrance of you, my friend.
Amen. Ditto. I met Susie when she was fulfilling her role also as a speaker. I didn't even mention that Susie's a national speaker. She was fulfilling her role as a speaker at a conference, and I think we might have been talking about balance in your life, or talking about being an uncommon woman, or talking about being alone in marriage, some of the topics that you've really shared your expertise with lots of women on, Susie. And as Susie came in to be a guest on the program, it sparked a real love for live radio for her, and so now she's hosting programs. And as I talked with her about the writing process, that sparked an interest in me, and she helped me get my book written and published. And so what I love about you, Susie, is that you have spent your life and your time pouring out, trying to impart God's wisdom, God's word, and God's love into the hearts of your listeners and your readers.
Well, I'm just so honored to, and all I can say is I was the poster child for the verse, God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and the weak to shame the strong, and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Because in every single way, I was the insecure, not nothing. And it really pleased God to roll up his sleeves and pull me out of the ashes of my pain, clean me off, put a song in my heart. So really, truly, all glory goes to him. And so we're all works in progress. And so anything that I share did not come easy to me. Everything has felt like a hard-won battle, but I sure see that he is the greatest treasure, and we're in this together. So glad to be with you.
I love the fact that you took on the topic of writing about purpose. I mean, here, what, the best-selling Christian nonfiction book in history was Rick Warren's book on, you know, your purpose, the purpose-driven life, and helping people discern purpose. And you rolled up your sleeve and you said, you know, I've got a few thousand words to say on purpose, too.
Something like 65,000, right? Yeah.
So what motivated you to write Your Beautiful Purpose?
You know, I think just being out on the road and speaking at conferences and meeting so many different people who have aspirations to be much with God, to do much with God, and who approach it in different ways. And I know for me, just the internal process that you go through when you dare to say yes to God. And I've come upon three types of women, and I think at different points of my journey, I was each of these women. But one is so shut down from just disappointments and hardship in life that the light has gone out of her eyes. She doesn't really dare to dream anymore, and so she's just existing. And the other is a woman who's got a dream in her heart, but her life and circumstances speak such a different message At times she wonders, am I delusional? But this thing won't go away from me. And then the third one is a woman who's got a very deep, rich walk with God, but maybe a more hidden lifestyle and really content in that way. So it doesn't resonate really with words like dream or calling and just saying, you know, that's not really for me, but it is for her. And what I've really understood as I've just dug into this, wrestled with my own stuff, is that the two big things that seem to get in the way for any of these three women is either self-ambition, where you get ahead of God, or self-preservation, where you fall behind. And so the challenge here is to understand that we are called to ever-increasing influence, purpose, insight. He wants to bring us from strength to strength, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. And Kim, I'm absolutely convinced that many Christians are alive today who are saved, but they're not free. And when they get back, when they get to heaven, they're going to realize, I lived most of my life in response to my issues rather than apprehending the purpose and the promises of God for me, that there was so much more available. And so that's what motivated me, is say, let's wrestle with the stuff in us, in our self-life, that keeps us either by on our own trying to get us ahead or on our own trying to protect us, and let's be mobilized for God's purposes.
I love the fact that you clearly identify these two problems of self-ambition and self-preservation, because I think, you know, I've operated in both, and when you're stuck in that cycle, you can't, it's like there's some sort of a drive that is counterfeiting purpose that actually keeps you from fulfilling your purpose, if that's a clear way of me to say it.
Yes, absolutely.
Give us the portrait of somebody who's operating, first of all, in self-ambition. What does that look like?
Well, that person is using people as a means to an end, and they're posturing. And see, now I might step on toes here, but I'm just telling you, this is just something that I've found. When you start to use people where you're hoping in people, you can't love them the way Christ loves them. But if you really are convinced God knows my name, He knows my address, He knows where I live, He knows what He's put in me, so if He's making me wait, it's because He's making me ready. If you can totally trust in Him in that way, and so treat people as objects of God's affection and love Him and be faithful where you are, He will open those doors to your next place of promise. But I've been on the receiving end of people who don't see me as a person, but see me as someone they can use to get where they want to go. And they're walking on people, and it just, and they feel like their call is the utmost important thing. But I think as you wait on God, you realize, Jim, you carry a portion of God's burden. I carry a portion of God's burden. We can walk together. I can serve you. You can serve me. And together we move God's purposes forward. And so the best way I can think of to just lay it out is I've noticed like three phases of this dream come true, of walking out your unique purpose in God. And the first one is this dream far off. When you suddenly do awaken to the idea, yep, God has a purpose and a plan for me. I'm not one of the have-nots. If I have the Spirit of the living God in me, I am a have. I've got a purpose. But that dream far off awakens a dream, and suddenly the sky's the limit. It's like you start to just awaken to what is possible when you trust God. But at the same time, self-ambition awakens, jealousy, impatience, because suddenly you're tracked into the thing you're called to do, and suddenly you notice other people who are farther down the road, and what does that awaken in you is your self stuff. Well, God, I'm a better singer than her. Why does she get to be on the platform or whatever your thing is? And the reason you need this part of the journey is because God wants to preserve your dream and your purpose in its purest form. So He allows the delays so that your self-life can come to the surface. And you have the choice in that place when ambition rises, when you're tempted to be catty and petty and jealous of someone else who gets to do what you get to do, you've got a fork in the road. And this is where you decide, will I have her back like I want someone to have my back, or will I be petty and jealous? Because we don't hear enough about jealousy, but Scripture says that it really is a gateway sin, and it is an open door to demonic activity in your life. And in the kingdom of God, there is no room for jealousy. There, Jesus says, pray for more workers. Don't be threatened by the few. There's more work than workers right now. So if you start to feel jealous of someone else's gift, it's about your kingdom and not His. And so in that in-between stage, Kim, is the opportunity to go, Lord, I know that as I walk out my purposes, I'm probably going to excite the jealousies in somebody else, and I want them to have my back. So, Lord, I don't know what her call costs her, but bless her and protect her from jealous people like me. Have her back, Lord, and establish her. And when I'm ready, you'll establish me. So that's the first stage, and I can tell you about the next two when you're ready for me too.
Well, I love that. And, you know, I saw a quote recently from Taylor Swift who said she was subject to jealousy early in her career, but now she has learned to harness it and say, you know what, if it's possible for her, maybe it's possible for me. which I think is just a beautiful reaction, because we should anticipate this selfish ambition. We should anticipate that jealousy will rise. It's normal, but not, of course, what's our best or what God has in mind for us ultimately. But it can be something that, if we can overcome it, can be a blessed part of the journey, as you said, Susie,
yes,
helping us to pray for others, helping us to dream even bigger and see, you know, that things are possible if we do things in God's will and God's way. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and our guest tonight is Susie Larson, author of Your Beautiful Purpose. We're recorded tonight, but we'd still love to hear your feedback. Send us an email, drop us a comment on Facebook. You'll find links to all of that at cradlemyheart.org, and we'll return with more with Susie Larson coming up after this.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cattola.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and I'm Kim Cattola. And if you're a regular listener, you know that our program has dedicated itself to helping with the aftermath of abortion, helping you find God's love. Tonight, with our guest Susie Larson, we're talking about fulfilling your purpose in life. And this has application for those of us broken by abortion, but also impacted by other sin or other damage that has been done to our hearts and our spiritual lives by the actions of others, not necessarily our own sin. But Susie, as we were talking before the break, you identified these two things that can really impede our progress toward our purpose in life: self-ambition and self-preservation. And we talked about how there are three phases to fulfilling God's purpose for us, and that in this first phase, as God awakens a dream in our heart, the self-ambition comes right alongside of it. And what I heard you saying is really as a tool that God can use to refine our desires. What's the second phase of having this dream unfold within us?
Well, I want to say one more word about that dream far off, because when your self-life starts to show, when you get impatient with God and jealous of other people, sometimes that's a stopping point for some people, and they think, see, this is just me, and it's not worth pressing through. But the thing is, God puts dreams and desires in our heart, but these things just need to be dealt with. But if they're not, some people can go on and make their own thing happen. And you see those people show up in leadership roles, and they achieve it by striving in their own strength. But the difference is the fruit that comes out of their life, because it becomes more about them, and they become more territorial with what they're doing. And the ripple effect of that is very damaging, I think, to the kingdom work. Well, the next phase is a dream up close. So if you're walking, taking one faith step at a time in that dream far off stage, and you're letting God have his way in your character as he, you know, it just kind of refines you and nudges you when you're making it about you, when you despair that you dare to have faith, you will get closer to that promised land. And so the next phase, that dream up close, it's when your toes are touching the edges and suddenly it's within your grasp. And so the dream up close, you know what comes up? Is your fears are confronted. Where before you were like, I'm ready for this, God, why aren't you moving faster? Now you're like, you know, I could really mess this up. You know, you're close enough to touch it that you're thinking, now that my humanity is coming in contact with this dream, I don't feel so safe. The giants appear in your land and you feel like, I am not ready. And this is the place where you got to trust his love and you got to face down your fears, because you've got to trust that God is so invested in you, so careful with your heart, that he will lead you in the way that you should go. So even when you don't feel you're ready, do the next thing he gives you to. And before you know it, the giants will go down and those mountains will be under your feet. And it is not for sissies. It's not for the faint of heart. But that dream up close does require some kind of grit and more trust in God's promises than your ability to stand against those giants on your own.
Well, and I think, you know, in talking about the abortion issue, and I know, Susie, you don't have that in your past, as I do, and I know that you haven't really focused ministry there, but there's such an application here when we start talking about self-preservation, because in my case, that was at the very heart of the choice for abortion. I felt abandoned by the people that I had confided in, and I didn't see a way clear to be able to do the right thing I think in my heart of hearts, I knew what the right thing would have been, but it occurred to me that I needed to preserve what I already had. I couldn't possibly pour myself out for another person. I felt, you know, as I said, abandoned. And so self-preservation to me, in looking in my own heart with God's help, not under self-condemnation, but I've identified that as cowardice. Many people have said, oh, Kim, you know, that's too strong, and be compassionate with yourself and so on. But boy, I'm a person who, when God says, this is what it is, to me, that rod and staff is very comforting. That correction of being able to pinpoint, ah, this is the problem. All right, what must I do to correct this? So if it's resonating with somebody listening tonight that, you know what, I have been in self-preservation mode, my fears have been driving me, what's the remedy here?
This is the place where you look at Scripture over and over again. It's not a sin to be afraid, but I would say it's sinful to coddle your fears more than you cling to the promises of God. In fact, you look at the Old Testament when the Israelites were journeying. Scholars say that their fears were rebellious, and that's what kept them from getting in to the promised land. And so it's one thing to be afraid. It's another thing to give such life to your fears more than you do the promises of God, that I would say if you're just paralyzed by that fear, just get before the Lord and say, give me an inheritance promise to hang on to. And what does obedience look like today? And I'm telling you, Kim, this is not something that came easy to me. This isn't something you slap up on a poster that I read in a book somewhere. It's something I've had to cling to, wrap my arms and legs around, going, your promises are true. And even now, you know, I'm working on my 10th book. Every chapter, every word, I have that enemy over my shoulder. You can't write, you can't write, you can't write. And it's like I type and I whack him out of the way. Yeah, I type. And I'm facing down my fears every day. And so it's a matter of saying, Lord, if you call me to it, you'll see me through it. And one of the ways it's helped me is in John 3:34, it says, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives his spirit without limit. And he's speaking of John the Baptist is speaking here about Jesus. But I borrowed that from myself. For the one whom God has sent, God speaks the words. He gives the words, and he gives his spirit without limit. So I wait on the Lord. So I don't go marching ahead in ambition, and I don't go marching ahead in my own understanding. When something is before me, I wait. Lord, is this you? If you've sent me, if you're calling me, then I'm going to trust you that you'll not only give me what to say, you'll show me what to do, and your spirit will be with me to comfort me. When you get your marching orders from him, know that as you march forward, you will be opposed. That enemy won't want you taking new land, but God will be with you. And so that's the thing. Do the next thing he says. Trust his word more than you do your feelings. And just take one step at a time. You don't have to carry it all at once. You carry today with today's grace.
I really hope as you're listening with our guest tonight that we're speaking with Susie Larson. She is the host of two radio programs, Live the Promise and Everyday Relationships, with which she co-hosts with Greg Smalley. And she's, as she said, the author of almost 10 books. Susie, I really hope as those who are listening tonight are taking this in, that, you know, to hear that it's not futile to have been given a purpose from God, even if that purpose has not yet been fulfilled. I think this is one of the biggest temptations, and I appreciate that you've got these steps and these predictable phases that can help people say, well, where am I on the continuum? Oh, I see. So maybe I don't need to give up. You know, this whole problem of futility in meeting the purpose that God places in our hearts, I think, is really a huge problem, and one that I'm sure, you know, it covers a lot of the ground that we've already talked about, this idea of futility and purpose.
Yes, indeed. In fact, what's so interesting, I've identified a few training grounds in the book, and I know there are more, but where the enemy will try to sow in that futility, like, what's the use? It's like, I have this dream of going over there, but I have to deal with this thing here. And here's just a few, because I say that these are not obstacles. These are training grounds. In fact, William McDonald calls this training time for reigning time. And so whatever the this is that you're going through right now, God is using and can use for the that he wants to take you to. And so enemy would love for you to think it's futile. This is a roadblock. I can't get there from here. But I want to tell you, God is the God of acceleration, and he can do anything he wants in a moment's time. But this journey, again, he makes us wait because he's making us ready. So one of the ways that people in training tend to encounter, one of the things is betrayal and relational difficulty. And so the temptation here is to return the favor, to align people with your purposes, to gossip maybe the way you're being gossiped about. But the call here is to wrestle with honor, because the test is here, how will you handle it when people don't treat you the way you should? How will you handle the despair of betrayal? Because you're a leader in the making. You're someone with a purpose in the making. Another one is financial hardship. How will you deal with that? Will you grasp for yourself? Will you make decisions apart from faith? Or will you say, my hope comes from the Lord. He will supply my needs. Kim, almost anybody, everybody I've ever met that has had a significant call and walked it out will say, yes, there was a time where I didn't know where our next meal or dime was coming from. Is your hope in the Lord? Another one is being overlooked, where you know you have a gift in you, and maybe God used you at a moment when the right people were looking the wrong way, and the temptation is to say, did you see me? And try to posture and grab for the limelight. But the call here is to say, God, you see me. You know where I live. I know there's a gift of God in me. I delight in you. I hope in you. One day you'll establish me. Another temptation and training ground is disillusionment with a church or a ministry. Will you wrestle with honor? Will you walk away and go, I'm going to cover, not cover up, but I'm going to entrust this organization to the Lord. I'm not going to just speak to anybody who will listen. Will you walk this thing out in honor? Because these things are tests of your character. And the enemy would love for you to think you can't get there because you got this. And God is saying, how will you handle this? Because it'll determine how you fare there.
Susie Larson is our guest, and you are listening to Cradle My Heart Radio. We'll take a short break. You can interact by leaving us an email or a comment on Facebook. Just go to cradlemyheart.org and follow the links. You'll find us on Twitter, too. And you'll also find all the links to the various ministries of our guest, Susie Larson. Stay with us for more of Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Tonight we're talking about your purpose. And our guest is author, speaker, radio host, Susie Larson. And you will learn more about her ministry at cradlemyheart.org. You can find links to her two radio programs. She hosts a program called Living the Promise, as well as co-hosting Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. And she has written a book called Your Beautiful Purpose, and that's what we're really focusing on tonight. I know that you know, our primary focus on Cradle My Heart has been overcoming the wounds, spiritual and emotional, the mental health aspect also of what happens to us after we choose abortion. And there's such a great application for all of this material. But this is also aimed at folks who have not had an abortion, just living out the Christian life. And finding purpose, I think, can be such a frustrating thing. And, you know, Susie, not knowing your purpose or feeling frustrated in your purpose, I think, leaves us vulnerable to making poor and sinful choices. But let's take a look at this from the positive aspect. And just say for the person who is doing pretty well right now spiritually, but it doesn't sense a very strong direction from the Lord, what's the role of our gifts and talents in identifying our purpose?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that, because I guess the way I see it is that all of us have a purpose to be much with God. And so first and foremost, for every Christ follower, it's to walk intimately with Him. Secondly, it's to do the next thing He tells you to. Thirdly, it's to give Him access to your story, which means let Him heal your wounds and deal with your character and let Him in. And then fourthly, if you dare, it's to ask Him to do the impossible in and through you. And that will look different on all of us. Your ministry is so different than mine, but we support each other. Some may be called to open a homeless shelter. Others may be called to teach Sunday school. Some may be called to reach out to their shut-in neighbor. Others may be called to write a book. As I said, we all carry a portion of God's burden. Some have a more missional cause. Some have a more behind-the-scenes cause. My mentor lives a very hidden life. She spends over 3 hours a day in the Word, in God's presence, and she pours into my life and a few other key people who have more public ministry. And so it really is about, for you, because God has uniquely designed you to live out your story and His greater story, be much with the Lord. Do the next thing He says. Give Him access to your story. and then if you dare. Now, I want to tell you that I write about this in the Purpose book. When Peter is in the boat in the storm with the disciples, he cracks me up. I like Peter so much.
Mm,
and it's
too.
Like they're afraid they're going to die, you know. And they see someone come on the water, and they think it's initially a ghost. And Peter's like, if it's you, call me out. And right away, because I know I have the spiritual gift of suspicion, I'm thinking, if it's you, call me out. I mean, what if it's not you? And you're saying, in the case you might be Jesus, call me out. Well, what would keep it the ghost, if it was a ghost, from not saying, okay, come on out. Yeah, it's me, Jesus, come on out. I mean, I had to stop and dig because I'm thinking, I couldn't do that. And what I learned out of Dr. Warren Wiersbe's commentary is what Peter actually said was, Lord, bid me come. And the translation is the command of a king. And so, in other words, Peter was saying, I know you're the king. I know you rule the wind and the waves. So if you call me out, Lord, I know you'll hold me up. And I think that's so amazing because he was in a dangerous situation and saying, call me out to even a more dangerous situation because I'm going to walk with you. And so if you dare, and if you really want to fulfill the greatest parts of God's purpose for you, I dare you to say, Lord, bid me come. Bid me come and see what he will do. And the thing is, there's times, Kim, he'll ask you to do things that seem totally disrelated to your call. So maybe you do feel the ultimate goal is to write a book or to start a ministry. You can get so selfishly minded around your call that you miss the everyday moments. And he might say, yeah, we're going to end up there, but today you're going to your neighbor's house and you're going to bring him a pie. Today you're going to call that friend that you've let too much time pass. You got to trust his strategy because those everyday moments won't always seem related to where he's taking you, but he's training you to listen to his voice and do what he says.
Oh, how many times, too, have I realized that that was what God was trying to do when I hadn't listened? It's so painful. Take what Susie is saying to heart here. The small things are not small in God's eyes. Susie, I want to ask you a question, a personal question, because you said part of your process is giving God access to your story. And I know that you have overcome a painful episode, and more than one, really, in your past. How do we live beyond the wrong purpose that others had in mind for us?
Well, I guess that's a great question. I wish I could go away and think about it for a while, but since we're on the radio, I would have to say that the more that I know the Lord, the more that I trust him. Proverbs 9:10 says, knowing the Holy One results in understanding. And the more I get to know him, the more I understand that his ways are higher and that even though man is given free will and choice, and so we're going to hurt each other and we're going to bless each other, just as people have hurt me. Kim, you blessed me. I was an author and speaker, and before I came into the studio that day when you were hosting your daily show in the very studio that I'm sitting, God was just speaking my heart about radio, and I'm like, Lord, is this the selfish thing? Because if it is, take it away. But if it would forward your purposes, use me. Well, I come in, and I'm on a show with you, and long story short, you decide to give me a chance to train me in to be your backup. How many women would do that? Not very many. But you were so secure in God's call on your life that you could bring me under your wing and help me fulfill God's call on my life. And so I feel like there's a big yes on your life, and the fact that you would steward that opportunity, I believe God has blessed you greatly, and he's blessed me. And so my fruit is your fruit. And so even though hard things happen, we can't let them have the last say. And we just got to believe that God, my latter days, my days ahead of me are going to be far more blessed than my former days. And I'm not going to be bound by my past. I'm going to be held up by your promises. And so that's where I live. And again, it's not something flowery that you write on a card. It takes a lot of grit to put your feet on his promises when everything else screams that the opposite is true. But it's doable because his promises are yes and amen.
You know, I mentioned the fact that part of my story, Susie, was making the decision to have an abortion as a result of feeling abandoned by people who should have been supporting me. Another way of saying that is that I was victimized by neglect on their part. And boy, everything in me has screamed against putting that label on myself. But there are many times in life, and that's what I meant by this phraseology of others having a wrong purpose for us. There are many times in life that we will become victims. And I don't think there's anybody who wants to see themselves as a victim. You've answered it in the question there, in your last answer, and you've answered it well. But I guess I want to say, you know, if you are feeling victimized, if you are feeling as though somebody else has taken away your dream, has removed God's purpose for you because of something that's been done to you that you had no control over, unlike, you know, my situation where I did have some volition in it. How do we move forward in that circumstance, Susie?
Well, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the difference between grief and self-pity, because there can be grief over somebody else's wrongdoing against you. But when that morphs into self-pity again, where you rehash your losses and rehearse the offense, you put yourself in captivity. And so there is a time and a season where you need to admit and own and say, that hurt, and yes, I was on the receiving end of injustice, and this is the impact it's had on me. Because the truth is, enemy is prowling around looking for you to be let down so he can embed lies, because they feel true when you're most broken and most hurting. And so the goal and the purpose is to come into that place of truth. I think the passage is Psalm 51:6. He says, you desire truth in my inmost being, and in those hidden places you will make me know wisdom. And the truth in the inmost being is so important, because that's where lies go to hide. And so I want you to think, so for me, part of my past was being pinned down by a handful of teenage boys when I was 9 years old. And that marked my life with fear and insecurity, self-hatred, all those things. And so even though I was a decent athlete and I could perform well in other areas of life, I looked on the outside like a gymnast and a cheerleader. I was full of fear and self-hatred. And so that is really what I lived in reaction to more than anything. And so once God got a hold of me, and I owned that too, I was a victim, right? But I'm not going to stay there. So God, what does that mean about me and what's true about me? Suddenly when I started to let the truth go in, think about the verse again. You desire truth in the inmost being, and in those places, you'll make me know wisdom. So in those places where I had brokenness and I lived in a fractured way, perpetually insecure, suddenly I had truth, and guess what else I got? I got wisdom, and I could conquer that place, stand in that place, and now I have credibility in a place where the enemy meant to steal from me. I have reclaimed land that he took from me, and now I'm going to make him sorry he ever messed with me, because I'm going to speak to every woman I meet who's been the victim of sexual abuse and tell her this is what's true about God. And so that's what that looks like to me, I think, is yes, own it, look at it, identify it, but then say, Lord, how can we turn the tables now on the enemy so I can not only possess the land, but bear fruit in this place of my suffering?
Cradle My Heart Radio, and you're listening to our conversation with Susie Larson. Tonight we are taped and not taking phone calls, but you, of course, can interact. We'd love to hear your comments on our Facebook page, or you can leave a comment on the posting about Susie's interview here on cradlemyheart.org, and there you will also find links to her ministry, including the book that we're discussing tonight, Susie Larson's Your Beautiful Purpose. Susie, let's talk about the role of faith as we pursue purpose. We're about to go to break, so I'm going to give you a chance to think about this just a little bit. Everything that pours forth from you, I know, is grounded and informed by your faith and God's word. And for those who are not there yet, who don't feel that as much as they read the Bible, the verses don't just roll from their lips, they're maybe not, you know, living and active in their lives, the scriptures are not living and active in their hearts. Let's talk about how to build faith as we pursue purpose. And we'll do that right after this short break. Stay with us. Susie Larson is our guest. I'm Kim Cotola, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola.
Cradle My Heart Radio tonight, welcoming author, speaker, radio host Susie Larson. And we are recorded. We'll be returning soon with a live program, and you can get all the details at cradlemyheart.org. And please do visit. You'll find links to Susie's ministry, and you'll want to know about many other books and her radio programs. Some of you can listen online, and if you want to tap into Susie's ministry, I would recommend that you do that, investigate, and find out more. Tonight we're talking about her book, Your Beautiful Purpose. And we've discussed, if you're just joining us, the phases of a dream and how it comes to fruition, as well as some of the things that get in the way, as well as the positive aspects of our purpose being an outgrowth, a natural outgrowth of how God has fashioned us, and what he has in mind for us, and how when it's his plans, they just can't fail. And so, Susie, as we think about this, what is the role of our faith as we pursue our purpose?
really glad you asked about that, because in the beginning of the show, we started to talk about the three phases of your dream come true. So that first one was the dream far off, and that's where your motives are purified. And then the dream up close is where your fears are confronted. Well, the third phase is a dream realized, and that's where your faith is strengthened. And the best way I know how to explain it is because I was in the fitness industry for 15 years, and I love the parallel between physical and spiritual health. But when you are a person who decides to start exercising, people do this once in a while. We're like a New Year's resolution. They'll decide, I've never exercised before, but I'm going to go run 10 miles this Friday. And you know what happens is it's an overuse injury that will happen. You'll break down your muscle, ligament, tendons, and you'll lose ground because you can't go from 0 to 60 like that. Much the same way if a person who wins the lottery, they're not conditioned to manage a lot of money, and then the lottery win ruins their life because they don't know how to handle it. And so the best way to acquire new land, new ground, a new threshold is baby steps. So in fitness, it's like you start out by walking, running a mile, and then you add to 2. If you're strength training, you start out bicep curling 10 pounds and then 15 pounds. And then what happens is there's a little bit of a breakdown in the muscle, and then it heals and builds back up, and you've got a new threshold. When we talk about all this opposition, all the time in between the dream and its realization, all those things that come up are getting us ready. And so as faith, the role of faith is every step of the way. I mean, we can't please God without our faith. Scripture says anything done apart from faith is a sin. So whatever opportunity you have before you, whatever angst you're facing right now is an opportunity for faith. And so you choose today. I'm going to say this feels true. God's promises are true. I'm going with his promise. That's how you exercise your faith, one step at a time. And as you walk it out, your faith is strengthened. Now, once you start to step into that next place, because you'll get there as God refines your dream and purifies it and edits it in your spirit so that you suddenly go, I started out wanting this. This is where he's really brought me, and this is his purpose for me. You're going to have times where you're going to feel in over your head. You're going to have times where you feel fatigued, and that's when the enemy will come in and say, see, this is all about you. You wouldn't be so tired if this was of God. That's not true, because God conditions us to carry new levels, and there's times of breakdown before he builds us back up again. You still got to balance. You still got to get rest. But the point is, I mean, Kim, look at what you carry now compared to what you carried 10 years ago. I couldn't carry now what I carried. I mean, I couldn't carry 10 years ago what I carry now, because one step at a time, he's built some muscle density in my faith that allows me to manage a lot where I couldn't before. And so it's one of those things. It's one faith step at a time. He builds you up and strengthens you. And then as you kind of own that land, he gets you ready for a next place.
I really love the way that you have laid that out for us, because it gives me a working definition that faith is really our strength. I remember talking with Dr. Henry Cloud once about people who take extraordinary risks in life and have great rewards, you know, that they wouldn't have achieved their purpose had they not risked something. And he said, Kim, as I've worked with business leaders and high achievers, what happened in that great risk was that they had so much built up that the risk was the next logical step. It didn't appear to be a risk. As you say, you know, if you wake up this morning and say, oh, okay, I'm going to go climb Kilimanjaro, well, maybe not. But if you've been training and taking, you know, the measures that you need to prepare yourself, then you're not only ready for it, but it isn't scary. It doesn't seem risky. It feels right.
And that's, I think it was Tozer who said, you know, that God works behind the scenes on his saints that he's training. And they seem to appear out of nowhere, and the world wonders where they came from. But God knew, like Joseph in the Old Testament, look at all the ways he was preparing him. And he went from prison to a palace in a matter of moments. But he had a dream in his spirit a long time before that. And so there's times where people will ask, are you so surprised at what God has done? And I'm not that surprised, because I wait on him a lot. And I say, get rid of any desire or, you know, ambition that's not of you, but give me a vision and give me audacious faith to take it. And he'll say, okay, this is your next step. This is your next step. And so we're asking God that all the time, like Javi and I. And so we've got audacious dreams and visions just to help people who are hurting in our city. And now behind the scenes, it's training time again, and it's a stretching, and it's a carrying a weight that's a little heavier than we're used to. But we know we have a history with God. We know he's faithful. And so as you walk it out, you start to see that more rests on his shoulders than on yours, but your next step does matter. And when you add faith to your deeds, that's when the miracle happens.
I want to encourage anybody listening tonight to really take Susie's words to heart and to think about the example of our friendship. Maybe you're stuck back in that phase that Susie described of being caught up in self-ambition, and maybe the Lord is speaking to you through this program and saying, you know what, that really wasn't a kind thing to do. Maybe even you pulled it off and people don't understand that you were, you know, driven by a jealousy or a greed or an envy. But, you know, it's just been so sweet how God has worked between us. Susie, you fulfilled a need when I was willing to train you. You know, I have to believe that God had ordained that, for that to happen in your life. And for me, same way, you know, when I approached you and said, there's a book that I think is in my heart. How in the world do I start? I'm not a writer. I don't know anything about publishing. And you took me under your wing and were brutally honest when you needed to be and kindly nurturing at other times. This is really possible. If you've never experienced a spiritual friendship like that, I encourage you to pray and ask God to bring it about, maybe in the arena where you're already functioning, because I don't want to say that that was a totally new experience for me, but boy, I sure had experienced the converse in the world of work. I sure had gone through rivalries that looked a lot like Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding, for those of our listeners who are old enough to remember them, you know, and that's so difficult to be in that phase. And God, that is not what God has in mind for any of his children. He just doesn't. And so the people around you, I think, are always a big part of God's plan for your purpose. And maybe we can just close with some words about relationships, Susie, and about maximizing, you know, the relationship capital. If we're not to be using people, if we're not to be operating within selfish ambition, how do we build and nurture the relationships so that we're helping others come to their purpose as well as, you know, finding what God has in mind for us?
Great question. Well, my thing is, I say to myself and remind myself all the time, I love people and I hope in God. So my focus with people is more, how can I love and serve and encourage and help them and get where they need to go, help them be better if they want me to help them that way. And as far as looking for help from people, I look to the Lord. I just do. And people have told me over the years, you're so naive to not think that you should be pursuing and connecting with people in a way that's different than me. You know what I mean? Now some people are just gifted networkers. For me, I hope in God and I help the people in my midst. He's brought people in my path. And I think about, like, David, when they tried to put Saul's armor on him, it didn't, he's like, I'm not used to this. You know, he had the sling and the stones. That's what he was used to. And I feel like you can learn from people who've gone before you, but there's going to be a unique way that God leads you. So for me, Kim, I just know it has worked better for me to just have no agenda with people except to love them. I owe no debt except to love them. And God will hook me with the right people. And one thing I do pray on the way to work all the time is, Lord, I thank you by faith that you've redeemed my steps. I'm always in the right place at the right time because my steps are ordered by the Lord. And they always, I mean, it's like he's connected me with the people I've needed to meet. But that way I can look to serve and not to get something from somebody.
The overarching theme of your life and your ministry is the promises of God and living the promise. For some of us, that concept is not preached very well. Maybe we haven't had the opportunity or the direction to explore the scriptures on that. What are your top two or three verses on God's promises for us to get somebody started to really be focused there rather than on some other things that might have been bringing them down from faith?
Well, John 10:10, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you have life and life abundantly. There's another scripture, I think it's in 1st or 2nd Corinthians, that he's able to make all grace abound to you so that you, having all that you need at every time, can abound in every good work, that he has supplied seeds to multiply and enlarge your harvest. And so as you become generous in every way, it results in the praise of many. So many thank God because you exist on the earth. Another one is Ephesians 2:10. You are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So that you can do the wonderful things he planned for you long ago. So he has a best case scenario for you. He's got his highest will. And I'm convinced many, as I said, are going to get to heaven and go, you know what? I was saved, but I wasn't free. And so be tenacious and audacious enough to say, God, fulfill your purposes in me. Help me deal with my self-life so that I can step into the purposes and promises of God.
Susie, I'd like to give you the opportunity to just say a prayer that everybody listening would be a little bit clearer about purpose, have a little more hope about their purpose, if we could just close in prayer. We have about 2 minutes remaining.
I love that. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for my friend listening today. And I want to thank you, God, that you're with them. You are on this journey. You have a song over their life and a purpose in their heart. And I just pray even now as they listen that that purpose would awaken and they would know what it is. And I pray, too, they'd have a sense of that next step, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you'd open doors for them. I pray that you give them a fresh vision and a fresh faith to walk this walk, Lord God, and so that when it's all said and done, they can rejoice with you and be glad that they stewarded well the opportunities you've put before them. Help us, oh God, to live by faith. Forgive us for the many ways we self-preserve, Lord Jesus, and run ahead because of our own agenda. We wait on you, we delight in you, and we know that you will establish us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Susie Larson, our guest, you can find out about her ministries at cradlemyheart.org. And I haven't even mentioned your beautiful book of meditations, Blessings for the Evenings. If people want to get a little taste of that, you can find your Facebook page, which is, give us the address for your Facebook page, Susie.
You can search for Susie Larson, but it's facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. And I post a morning and an evening blessing, and then they're compiled in a book as well.
Thank you so much for joining us, and God bless you, Susie.
God bless you, my friend.